Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Ayin Vav, and we are about 30 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Baravua. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasun Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shleima for Chava Miriam Bas Malka Freida and Shloima Ben Chayaleh. So we're Be'ezras Hashem holding at the very very last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Continuing with the theme of the very, very, very end of the Masechta, and that is Kashering Kalim Shal Oivdei Koichavim. So, the last several weeks of the Masechta dealt with laws related to Yayin Nesach. At the very end of that Sugya, the Gemara talked about how one would kasher gas or different Kalim related to the production of Yayin of an Oivet Koichavim, may inyan le inyan, but oisa inyan, the very, very last sugya of the Masechta deals with general ideas related to kashering kalim from an Oivet Koichavim. Specifically, the Mishnah said if somebody buys a keli from an Oivet Koichavim, this is a kli meichel, and he wants to use it now in the context of achil. If it's a keli that's ordinarily used with tzoinein, then yatpel, all you need to do is tovel it, and by doing that, you're going to make it kosher. If it's something that's used with roischin, with hot water, then you have to do agala, which means you have to put it into hot water. We'll see more about it in the course of the daf. And if it's something that's used in a way where it makes direct contact with fire, for example, you grill, roast, something like that, then it requires even a higher level of kashering. It requires what's called libun. The Gemara brought a braisa that said, Tana v'kulan tzrichin tefila bar bamsa, that all different oifanim of hechsher kelim, to the extent that you bought the keli from the oivik kechavim, and you have to kasher it, because otherwise it's not going to be kosher. After you do what you did, whether it's toifeling, or whether it's hagala or libun, at the end of the day, it's going to require tefillah of Arba Amsa. Now, when you tovel it, you have the tefillah of Arba Amsa. But as it relates to Hagolo and Libun, in addition to, you would also have to have tefillah from Arba Amsa. The makar to it, the Gemara said, is learned out from the parsha of Giulei Midyan, called Dovah Sheyaboy Ba'esh Taviru Ba'esh V'toher. And then it says again, Ach B'mei Nida Yischata. Two references to this idea, then in addition to the regular Hagolah, you would also have to put in a mikvah. Now, we left off right here without really explaining why it is after you kasher the keli, you have to put it in a mikvah. The chura, the kashering process doesn't seem to require it. So, if that's the case, why would it be necessary? And it's really with that backdrop in mind that we begin this next Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravu. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Baravu, Akfilu kelim chadoshim b'mashma. This halacha that says that if somebody buys a keli from an Oivet Koichavim and he kashered it, afterwards he has to toivel it in a mikvah, that would be true even if the Oivet Koichavim never used the keli. Meaning even if the keli was a brand new keli, it wasn't used at all, still there would be halacha that you have to do this tefillah. And what's his makar? The hayishanim v'libnan kichadashim dam. Because if you buy a keli that was used, and let's say it was used ba'ish, and you went ahead and you did libun, well at this point, once you do the libun, it's already a kli chadash. V'afilu hachi b'ayat tefillah. And still you need tefillah. So you say meres, the reason you need the tefillah is not to kasher the keli, because in the case of Liban, for example, the Liban already kasher the keli. Why then do you need the tefillah? There must be a din that when you buy a keli from an Oivet Koichavim, you have to be tovel the keli. Well, if there is such a din, then it doesn't matter if the keli was used before, if it wasn't used before. A din is a din, and you're going to have no choice, and you're going to have to be tovel the keli. Now, the truth is that, just to hit the pause button for 1 second, this halacha right here, that introduces today's daf is what we know as tefillah keli. So we know that if you buy a keli that was manufactured by a non-Jew, that lach is you have to be toivel the keli. Why being toivel the keli? Because you're afraid that it's not kosher. It's a brand new keli. Nobody ever used it. There's a parasha. Everyone knows this parasha. It's called tefillah keli. This gemara is the makar. And Rav Nachman said, "How do I know it? I know it from this braisa that we ended the previous daf with. From the fact that if you buy a keli from every chavon that was used and you kasher it, you still need tefillah. That's a makar l'chayra to the idea that any time you buy a keli from Avi Chachamim, you would have to do tefillah. So really, what's the makar to tefillah's kelim? Kol davar ashen yavoy ba'esh, taviru ba'esh Toher, Ach B'meinida, see Avodah Zarah 75b. That is the Makar to this halacha. Now, what's Taka Pshat in it? What is the Inyan? So, the Pshat is based on what the Rishonim say, and it comes already from Divrei Chazal, because when a person buys a keli from an Avi Kechavim, he's essentially taking the keli from the Rishus of the guy, and he's bringing it into the Rishus of the Yid. You need the tefillah so that it should be able to properly exit the tumah of the Ovi Kechavim and enter the kedusha of the Yisrael. That's what this tefillah scheme is all about. What is it not about? It's not about kasher, because a kli chadosh doesn't need to be kashered. And even the keli that was used already, once you do the hagala, you do the libun, you certainly don't have to kasher it. So, bal karkach, it's related to something else. This is the idea. But the Gemara says, maskel rav sheish, as the kasher, iyoch, yeh, bazoi, afilu zuza, disarbal anami. If you're going to tell me that this halacha of a kalash yavu be'esh taviru be'esh v'toyer is not related to the kashering process, but what is it? It's related to this new idea called tumas or tfilas kelim k'dei sheyetze mitumas akum v'yikonis l'kedushas Yisrael. So why is it only true for kelim that I use for achila? Afilu zuzu desabalanami, a scissor that's used to cut wool, even that should have the same halacha. Amaleis, Rav Nachman told Rav Sheshes, I hear what you're saying. Aba kli suda murim beparsha. If you look at where the Torah said the word v'toer, ach b'meinida, which is makar to the salach, it's called davash yava be'esh, taviru be'esh. It's talking specifically about kli meichel, right? How do you know it's talking about kli meichel? Because you're toivling the keli, you're kashering it, right? You're being malabin it. So obviously you're dealing with kli meichel, and being that the parsha is talking about kelim that are used for achila, so that's how we know it's limited to that. You're right. Based on the svara, the logic of tefillas kelim, I don't know. Just like I would have to kasher my pot, I should have to kasher my car, right? What's the difference? The teretz is, it's really based on the Gzeres HaKosev. It's learned in the parsha of Kalim that are miyuchid le'achila. That's why I know it's true only for Kalim that are achila. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Barabu. Another thing that Rav Nachman said, in the name of Rabbi Barabu, that relates to tefillah skim. The only time this halach is true is alab the kuchen, if you're buying the keli from the Ovi Kechavim. Uke maise shahaya, like the maise shahaya, meaning the story of the kli midyan. Over there, the yidin bought the kelim. Aval sheulim, but if they're only borrowing it, lo, there it's not going to be the case. Now, to be fair, when the yidin were in midyan, they didn't buy, they didn't swipe a credit card, right? They took everything. The point is that when the yidin fought the war, they acquired with a real bona fide kinyan these kelim. And what Rav Nachman is saying is that if you acquire it, if it becomes 100% yours, like the clay midyan, which they got as part of the shalal of the war, so then the halacha is that you need this din of tefillas kelim. If, however, you're not making a full-fledged kinyan, such as shu'ulin, where you're not acquiring it, being that you're not acquiring it, there it's going to be different. Now, to be fair, she'el on some level creates kinyan, right? This is Perek HaShoyo 101, Perek HaMafkid 101, so we know there is some level of kinyan that comes about through she'elo, but it's not the same as lekuchin, kamuvin, right? It's not yours to the point that you can be makdish it if you want, so it's not 100% yours, can't be makdish an issue with it. So, lo yishanu elo b'lekuchin, where you have 100% kinyan. Aval shu'ulin over there, da'alach is going to be different. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Zoven Mona de Marda. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, he once bought a keli that was made of marda. So what's marda? So Rashi says it was made of adama, it was made of earth and glalei bakar, right? The excrement of cattle. Either way, he bought it from an Ovi Kecham. So for that bila, before you have to be toivel it, right? He knew the salacha that if you buy kelim, you have to be toivel. Amalei humi rabban Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. So there was a rabbi, by the way, you want to know his name, Rabbi Yaakov. He said, "The dear Mifshlim Nei, Rabbi Yochanan. I heard from the great Rabbi Yochanan, clean matches amurim beparsha. That where does the Torah say the halacha again of Vitoher in the context of Caleb, and not just Caleb, Kli Matchos? And being that it said in the context of Kli Matchos, the only time this halacha is going to be chosen by Kli Matchos, these were Kli Adoma, and Kli Adoma is going to be different." Amr Ravashi said, "Hani Kli Schuches." Kalim that are made of tzchuches, they're made of glass, being that if they break, there's a takana, meaning you could always fix it somehow. They're treated like kli matras. Meaning, once we said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the only time there's a parsha of tfilas kalim is if it's dumyo de matras, so you would think that kli tzchuches should not be included. That's Rav Ashi's chiddush, that kli tzchuches, being that if they break, they have takana, so it has a quality like kli matres. Meaning, one of the things that's unique about kli matres is that if kli matres breaks, is yesh loy takana. So we treat the kli tzchuches as if they're kli matres, and it's for that reason, said Rav Ashi, they too would require tefillas kelim. So, do you have to toivel glass? seemingly it's enough for the Gemara. Now, the truth is, there is a discussion in the Rishonim and the Paiskim whether it's a chiv deiraisa or chiv derabanan. Meaning, the Iker halacha tfilas kelim, seemingly from the sugya, is a din deiraisa. Klis chuchis, there's already a discussion. Could be it's only a din derabanan. Another halacha. Kunya. So Kunya Rashi says is a kli cheres. This was an earthenware keli, but it was coated with oiferes. It was clothed with lead. Pligi bar Rav Acher Ravina was machleis Rav Acher Ravina. Chadamon once said kitchilasi. You look at what it is beikar. And what is it? Beikar is a kli cheres. Kli cheres doesn't have tefillas kelim. So you would think there's no tefillas kelim. Chadamon, the other one said kisayfai. That you look at it not based on what it is, but you look at its coating. And being that the coating is oiferes, that's like a type of matches. And as a result, you would think it does require tefillas kelim. But hilchas adalach is kisayfai, that we look at it as matches, and as a result, it requires tefillas kelim. Iboilo, not a shayla. Mashkanta mai. What would be if a yid has a mashkin from an oivik echavim that's clay suda, and he wants to use it now? Would he have to be toivalit, or would he not have to be toivalit? So again, we're not talking about kashering it. We're talking about being toivalit l'shem tefillas kelim, that it should leave the reshus of the guy and enter kedushas Yisrael. The question is, do you need the tefillah or not? What's essentially the shayla? Because not every time you use the keli of a guy, once it's kosher, do you have to be toivalit? It has to be something that you acquired, right? We said kinyan. What happened by the Kli Midyan? Yeah, but let's say She'ela, for example, even though on some level it's a Kenyan, they're not. So the Shaila is, what about a Mashkin? I'm a Marb Rav Ashi. So Marb Rav Ashi said, I'm going to tell you a Maisa that I saw with my father, Abba, the Tata, who was Marb Rav Ashi's father, Rav Ashi. Mashkin li'ev kechav and kasa de kasva. So he had a Mashkin from a guy, and it was a zilbit of Echer. It was a kasa de kasva. And before he drank from it, he did tefilas kelim. But said Marb Rav Ashi, even though at first glance this seems to be an exact tzushtel, right? It's a perfect tzushtel to this discussion, but I'm not 100% sure, because I'm not sure. Is the reason the Rav Ashi toivled the keli because he felt that a mashkanta is like a mekach, and as a result, it requires that. Could be Rav Ashi was able to pick up the nuance of this, and he saw he was never going to come redeem the keli. It was going to end up staying by Rav Ashi, in which case Rav Ashi Taki did acquire it, and being that he acquired it, so that's why it required it. So he said, I have a tzushtel, a really good one, but to be honest with you, right, sometimes from a maisa you can't really prove a halacha. Sometimes maisa rav, but sometimes fakert, because you have to know the nuance of the maisa. So Marb Rav Ashi said the tzushtel's gvaldik, but at the same time, whether or not you could take anything from it, that's not something I'm 100% sure of. Says the Gemara Vayta, Tanu Rabban, another brayza that talks about tefillas kelim. Halikeach kli tashmish min ha'ivik echam. If somebody buys kli achila from ha'ivik echam, farm shalei nishtamish behem. If these kelim that he bought were kelim that were not used yet, meaning brand new kelim matbilon, then you tevil them, right? Tefillas kelim, they ain't tahirin, and afterwards they're going to be fine. Meaning there's nothing else you have to do. Dvarim shalei nishtamish behem al yedei tzoynim. If they were kelim that were used and they were used al yedei tzoynim, kigoyin kaisa. The kitoinios, right? Cups and jugs with sloichios, different bottles, madichon, umat pilon, vein tahirin. So then, what you would have to do is first you would have to do hadacha, and after you do the hadacha, you would do tefillah. You always have to do tefillah skalim, and then they're going to be talking. In the event that they were used with hot water, these are big pots, hakum kumusim, umechamechamin, right? These are things that are used to heat up water. Then magilon, you need hagala, right? Because these are things that are used for roischin. And like the Mishnah says, at that point, you'd have to do a proper hagala, you would do a tefillah skalim afterwards, then they're going to be talking. Or if they're put literally in the fire, you go in ashvudavaskalois like a spit or a grill, melabnon, then you'd have to do libun, umat pilon, you'd be toivel it, they hang toirim, and then they're going to be tar. So really, this braisa is very much the halach of the Mishnah with one major hoysafa, right? What's the major hoysafa? That you always have to do tefillah, which was the braisa that the daf began with, right? Yesterday's daf, ton of a kulon tzrichin tefillah bar bamsa. So this braisa is wordier than the Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah didn't even say a word about tefillas kelim. This braisa tells us tefillas kelim, right? Just appreciate this a little bit better, right? Sometimes we talk about how the braisa is a little bit wordier than a Mishnah. So the braisa will add an extra word, an extra tzir, right? Bamedvarim amurim, will clarify it, right? The toshmas of the braisas are usually coming to clarify what the Mishnah didn't clarify. This omission of the Mishnah is like a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. It's an institution that every single Jew is aware of. It's the concept of tefillas kelim. So leaving out the tefillah at the end is not even only leaving out an important halacha. Let me buy a prat. It's like a whole institution, literally. But the bottom line is the Braisa continues and says, in the event that a Yid went ahead and he used these kelim before he did the tefillah, or before he did the gol, before he did the liman, meaning he wasn't supposed to use it yet, but he did. Tani Chada, there was one Braisa that said aser. At this point, the food is going to be aser. And there's another Braisa that said the food is going to be mutter. Says the Gemara, we have a steer over it. Meaning, how are you going to reconcile these two Braisas? Meaning, if a Yid went ahead and he used kelim of a guy without properly kashering the kelim or without even doing the tefillas kelim. So what's the halacha? One man said mutter, the other man said aser, but the Gemara says not steer. How come on the Amar nois and tam lufgam aser? The man that says aser is because he holds nois and tam lufgam is aser. Ha, keman dama nois and tam lufgam is mutter, and the man that said it's mutter is because he holds nois and tam lufgam is mutter. Beer dvarav shal agemara hakdoshim, because we know stam kelim ma inav neyana. So ordinarily, when you have a kelim, you assume that it wasn't used in the last 24 hours. A keli that wasn't used in the last 24 hours, even if it's a non-kosher keli because it has blias, at that point it's already nois and tam lefkam. So the assumption would be that any blias are nois and tam lefkam. So the braisa that says that if you use the keli of a guy without kashering it is a problem, it's because he must all nois and tam lefkam is aser. The man d'amma that said that if you use the keli without kashering it's going to be mutter, it's probably because he holds that nois and tam lefkam is mutter. Now there's one toisfis that's worth speaking out, the bottom toisfis on the yamid, where toisfis says that, one second, the braisa over here said that it doesn't matter if you used it before kashering it or if you kashered it but you just didn't toif it yet. According to one man, Dama Aser. According to one man, the Amar Mutter. The man Dama that holds Aser because Nois and Tam Lufgam is Aser. Okay, that would explain why if you use the Keli without capturing it, even though it's Nois and Tam Lufgam, still it's going to be a problem. But L'chayra Aser sounds like it's going even on the case where you did capture it. You just didn't do the Tfilas Kelim. At that point, what would make it Aser? Nois and Tam Lufgam, there's no Blias. So what would make it Aser? So Tais says, I'm not sure. One side Tais says, could be Anachinami. Could be the Mandama that says Aser. He means aser only in the case where you didn't kasher it. But if you kashered it, but you weren't toivel it, enochinami. In that case, it's going to be mutter. Then Tosfos says, miyu, it's the last line of Tosfos, I inherit the base, ikle memer, the gazer otu koidem agalav alibon. It could be Chazal wanted to make a gzera. And they said that being that if you're going to use the keli before that gala and the libon, where it's taka, not a kosher keli, nois tam lufgam aser, it's going to be a problem. So too, even if you did that gala of libon, but you use it before the tefillas kelim, maybe it's going to be aser there as well. But either way, this shaila with regard to whether or not if you b'dieved used it, it's going to be kosher or not kosher, as Tali says the Gemara, if you own nois tam lufgam is mutter, nois tam lufgam is aser. So the Gemara is mefalfal a little bit. Mandam nois tam lufgam mutter. According to Mandam that holds nois tam lufgam is mutter, Gulei ovdi kicham da aser rachmana heichem ishkachas. So I don't understand. If nois tam lufgam is mutter, and it sounds like you're telling me it's always nois tam lufgam, so when is there ever an issue of kashering kelim? Isn't it always going to be nois tam lufgam? Now the truth is, we answered the kasha, right? Because it was hard to even read the Gemara without preempting what the Gemara knows and really what the Gemara is about to say. And that is the only reason that we assume in the Braisa it's nois tam lufgam is because stam kelim ain't a ben yoyim. But if you know for sure that it is a ben yoyim, that's the chayr word being a gay, and that is the Gemara's teretz. Am Reb Chiya, Breder Afuna, Lai Osra, Toira, Elik, Deira, Bas Yoyim, Adalav, nois tam lufgam. And the only time it's a problem is if it's a Kdeira, Bas Yoyim, because over there it's not nois tam lufgam. But you're right, if you know that it's nois tam lufgam, or if you know that it's ain't a ben yoyim, at that point, or even mistam, we assume it's an eid ben yoyim. In those cases, it's taka going to be mutter. Says the Gemara, mikan ve'elach lishteri, meaning the halacha should be that once it's already not a ben yoyim, so it's nois tam lufgam, it should be mutter. Then what lechatchila? What's the kasha? So kasha, what do you have to kasha kelim for? Just wait 24 hours. Make sure it's not a ben yoyim and it's going to be good. So the Gemara says it's an excellent kasha because you're really right. A b'gzeira k'deira she'ena bas yoyimah mishum k'deira bas yoyimah. Chazal made a gzeira and they said if we're going to allow you to just use a keli without doing a pa'ula, then you may end up using a bas yoyimah and then you're already going to be over really sur de raisa. So what Chazal said was, they said you should kasha, but you're right. Really, you don't have to kasha. Right? Just to appreciate how far the halacha ben yoyimah goes. There's a kasha in a Gemara. Why do you even have to kasha kelim? And the whole answer is a gzeira. That's why if you call a rav sometimes and you say, you know, by mistake, I cooked milchiks in a flesh kapat, and the rav says, if it wasn't used in the last 24 hours, it's going to be fine. Right? Again, ask your local rabbi. But if the rav says that, because it's an eidah, but Penyoimoy. So you're going to say, what? How could that even be? It doesn't make any sense. I know in the kitchen, the Gemara even had a Havamina that you should never have to kasha kelim. And the whole answer is Xerah. So that's a Din Lechatchila. But the Evid was Soymech and Benyoimoy. There are even times with Soymech and Benyoimoy Lechatchila. But Hamir, like in the Sugis of Yain Nesech, that came up in the Sherry Cast discussion. But the bottom line is, when it relates to this, for sure, Bidi Evid, it's going to be okay. Says the Gemara of Idach, the Manda Omar that holds that Noisin Tam Lefgam is Osir. How does he know Noisin Tam Lefgam is Osir? I mean, the assumption is he knows Noisin Tam Lefgam is Osir because he learned it from Geulei Midyan. But really, what's the Makar from Geulei Midyan and Noisin Tam Lefgam is Osir? Maybe the only reason they had a B'Toivel was because of the Keder Bas Yoyma. But Enochanami wants to not Ben Yoyma, not where it's really nice time of Kamach be Mutter. So the Gemara says that man Damar holds Keder Bas Yoyma, Nami Mifkam Pogma. That Keder Bas Yoyma is also a little bit Pogma, and if the Torah said it's Aser, must be that nice time of Kam is really going to be Aser. So this really, this discussion, this Shakta Vatari of nice time of Kam is really related to nice time of Kam, which is a Sugin of the Zara, which we learned not so long ago. Machlokes Ramein, Reb Shimon, and the two Mahalchim had to understand the Machlokes Ula on the one hand, Rabbi Yechon on the other hand, right? Pogam Meikaro, maybe Hishbeach will say Pogam. That's a huge, huge, huge Sugya. We just got here a little brekel that came in, Bederech Aga. But either way, just to come up for breath for 1 second, and exhale, so this really concludes the first part of the daf that discussed the halach of Tfilas Kelim. So we're going to go weiter. But underrated, the sugya of Tfilas Kelim is tucked away here. In the end of the Sechsa Vaydazara, it's mamish, a half a amid or so, where the Gemara learns it from a pasuk tucked away. You never expect to find it there. I mean, it makes sense that that's where it would be, but it's still a chiddush. The word v'taher or meinida that's mentioned in the context of the geulei midyan, but this is the makar to this halacha of Tfilas Kelim. What's the halacha tefilas kelim? If you buy a keli from an oivik echavim, you need to be tefil. If you borrow it, no. Mashkanta, shailon the gemara, right? But if you buy it, or you acquire it during war, situations like that, where you're 100% the bailam on this keli right now, there's a halacha of tefilas kelim. One thing we saw in the gemara, that tefilas kelim has nothing to do with the laws of tumah, in the general sense, not related to machalis asurois. The concept is that when the guy owns it, it's tumma, yeah, but using that word a little bit more loosely, it's in the possession of tumas over the kechavim, and when you now make it belong to the yid, you want to enter it into the status of kedushas Yisrael. That's what it's about. Additionally, being that it's learned out from the parasha of Geulei Midyan, so we limit it. We limit the scope of it to dumiyot Geulei Midyan. Number one, it has to be klei suda, right? Maybe a scissor also. From that havamin, it's very revealing as to what Tfilas Kelim is not, and also a little bit what it is, right? But the bottom line is, I have a mina for Nagamara, that it should maybe even apply to Naklei Suda. Another thing is, it has to be Matches. What about Tzchuches? The Gemara said Tzchuches, yeah, it could be only Midrabanan. What if it's Cheres, B'Yosoid, but it's coated with Matches? The Gemara came out, Lamaskana, that that's also treated like Matches. But that's what you have, all these different Shailas. What about China, right? All the Shailas that the Rabbanim always get asked when it comes to Tevil and Kelim. Really, it all comes from this Gemara writer. Either way, moving along. So, the Mishnah had said, Hashfud v'ha'askala, a spit and a grill. These are examples of things that the derech is l'labein b'or, and as a result, melabnum b'or. Right? This is something that makes direct contact with the fire. It goes right into the kebab, goes right into the fire. The grill is mamish zizitz, mamish b'toicho esh. And as a result, if you want to kasher it, the way you would have to kasher it is with or. Says the Gemara, Romili Rav, I'm the Rav Sheish. Rav Ram came to Rav Sheish and he asked the Mestiro, Tanah we learned in the Mishnah, Hashfud and v'askalo melabnum b'or. Tanah we learned in another Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Masech Tezvachim, Gabi Kotchin, Hashfud v'askalo, Magilam b'chamin, that you have to go ahead and you have to do a gola with the shfud and the askala, and the way you do hagala is bechamin. So we have a stira. Is the way you kasher shfud and askala with or, is the way you kasher shfud and askala with chamin? Now, just to appreciate a little bit better what's going on, because it's very negated the Gemara. In our sugi, we know what the shfud and the askala is. You bought a shfud or an askala from an oivik yechavim. You're afraid that it's chazetref. In the Mishnah Masech Tezvachim, it's in the context of kachin. This is a shfud and an askala that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody thinks there's machalas asuras over here. Stating that could be a huge problem. Even more chamer than many machal sasuras. And the reason is because a keli, for example, that was used to shech the carbon, let's say, a sakin, that sakin right now is going to have blias of the carbon inside. of a chatas of a shlamim. Once the amount of time that one has to eat the chatas and the shlamim passes, at that point those blias are now going to become noiser. You're not allowed to eat noiser. You have karas if you eat noiser. So really, the utensils that were used in the shchita kabbalah hilacha process of the keli could be sometimes would run into different issues of blias of macholos asurais of kachin, believe it or not. But the bottom line is there's such a concept, right? It's an oxymoron, but there is such a mitzias noiser, for example. So the Mishnah says that the shvur and the askel that was used in the haktara of the kachin maginu b'chamed, you had to go ahead and you had to do agala, because otherwise you're going to end up with noiser, right? Where's the noiser going to be? The noiser is going to be from the basar of the carbon that's inside of it, that's balua. And as a result, what do? You do agala. But what's the stira that Rav Amram asked Rav Sheshes? He asked him a fire kasha, right? Pun intended. He said, and over there, it's mashma that the way you do the kashering is through magil mechamet. Which one is it? So, as we're going to see, just to precap it, but we're going to go through an Amid Gemara now that's going to go back and forth with this. A little bit of cheshbon. It's a drop windy, right? So, two hands on the wheel. But at the end, we'll do the sikkum. We're going to see there's five different mahalchim that the Gemara is going to present to answer this snira. First one's first. Amalei. So Rav Sheshes tells Rav Amram, Amram Bari, mein Tairazin Amram, ma inyin kachim etzel gu'ulei ovde kechavim. What are you comparing kachim to gu'ulei ovde kechavim? Hach over here, when it comes to kachim heteru bala. When the basa was mavliya into the shvur and the askel, the basa was kosher. Later, when it sits, the bliya does, inside the shvur and the askel, it ages, and when it ages, it becomes nicer. But the bliya itself was behetera. Hasam, as opposed to when the guy used it for his machalas asuris, he surabala. It was beilea chaz, it was beilea nevela, it was beilea basavichal, whatever it was. And it's for that reason it's going to be a problem. So when mekel, all you need is agala when it's hetera bala. When machmer, you need libun, right? That's more when it was isurabala. But Amar Rava heard what Rav Sheshes said, and he said, soif, at the end of the day, ki kapala ti sura kapala. Why do I care what it was beilea? What I care is what it's being maflet. And at the end of the day, the shvur and askel is going to be maflet iser, right? Because when the noiser comes out, it's going to be noiser. And as a result, l'cheira, why should this be a svara? And because of this, Rava went on his own path to say his own tarot. So really, it sounds like Rav Sheshes gets knocked out. We'll see at the end of the Gemara, Rav Ashi is going to come to the defense of Rav Sheshes. He's going to explain it. But either way, Ella, my Rava now introduces the second tarot. He said, Maya gola nami shtifa mariko. You want to know what the word Hagol over here means? Hagol over here means something else. It means Shtifa Marika. Now, what exactly Shtifa Marika is, that's a parashah in the Torah. It's an old parak in Zvachim called Dam Chatas that talks about this. But it's a very unique type of cleansing process that was required for Kachim. So it says Rava, when it says Hagol, it doesn't mean Hagol. Because the way you kasher it really is through Libra. But we know when it comes to Kachim, in addition to kashering, you also have to do Shtifa Marika. The Lashon of Magila Mechamen is just a loosely translated way of saying Shtifa Marika. So who said this, Rava? This was his Eitzah. Amalei Abayas. Abayas told Rava, me dummy, what Shaychas Mirkin Shtifa B'tzoynin. Hagala Mechamen. You can use the word Hagala loosely and mean Marika Shtifa. Because they're fundamentally different. Marika Mishtifa involves water, but cold water. Hagala involves boiling hot water. So it can't be that really it means Marika Vishtifa, but yet said Hagol. Elam Abayas, Abayas said, I'm going to tell you the third teretz, Yagid Olav Reyoy. You have to say that the two Mishnayas are complementing each other. Each Mishnah said a halba maisa, meaning Tana Hach over here in Avodah Zarah. It said Libun, Abav Huadin Lagala, really need Agala as well. And Tana Hassam over there by Kachim, it said Agala. Fuadin Libun, really you need Libun as well. Meaning, really at the end of the day, you know what you need? You need two things. You need both of them. You're going to need Sai, the Libun, and Agala. Oh, by the way, you need the Marika Shtif as well. So technically, you need three things. But the point is, as it relates to the Stira, it's not a Stira because each Mishnah is really telling you a halba maisa, they're talking to each other, they're complimenting each other, and really what you need is you need both. Amalei Rava, so Rava told Abai, really, you like your teretz better. He says, I understand there's a concept called Yagid Olav Reya, meaning that's a real idea. But let me tell you how Yagid Olav Reya makes sense. Meaning, ihachi, if the purpose of the Mishnah is Yagid Olav Reya, then listen lukula b'chala. What it should have been was one of the two Mishnahs, pick whichever one you want, Zagrashi, but one of the Mishnahs should have said both. For listen, ichadab idach achriti, and the other one, you could be makatzer, right? The Tana always likes being makatzer. So this is a good opportunity to be makatzer. You're always looking to cut. So this is a good place to cut. And you'll say Yagod Olivrei. But to tell me one here and one there, meaning you don't have one place where you're telling me the proper halacha, for that you can't say Yagod Olivrei. Ella Marava. So Rava said, listen, Abai, you don't like my pshat, I don't like your pshat, right? We can agree that we don't like each other's pshat. So I'm going to come, I'll say a second pshat, which really, if you're holding cheshbon, right, it's not such hard math. So this is the fourth pshat in the sugya. Ella Marava, Rava said, kachamayu tamayu. You want to know pshat in Kachin, meaning why Kachin doesn't require libum, but agol is going to be enough. It's kid Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Ravu. It's like where Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Ravu, the Amar who said kol yoyim v'yoyim nasegil l'chaveroi. He said the reason is because every single day they used to cook with these kelim. The shvud and the askel is being used every day in the Beis Hamikdash, and being that it's being used every day, so it's for that reason the using of it, meaning the cooking with it, the gil in and of itself is. Or the bishul in and of itself is the gil, and it's for that reason there's no purpose of needing to do anything else. Meaning, the reason you don't need the libun is because you're using it every day. And you using it every day is in and of itself going to do what it is that it needs to do. Meaning, every single time it's used, it's boileia, which is what creates the problems, but it's also maflit, right? Because that's what bishul does. That's what sli does. So every time you use the shvud and the askala, that in and of itself gives you whatever it is that you need. And it's for that reason, it's not necessary to do any libun. Says the Gemara, but as much as I hear what you're saying, Abul Khaira, in the math of kachim, it's not always going to work out. And why is that? So the Gemara says like this, Tenach, that's all good, Shlomim. That's all good for a Shlomim. The Kivan, the Lishnei Yomim Masachli, a Shlomim we know was Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim was eaten for 2 days and a night. So Mekamed Havin Noisar Kahavi Gil. So before it ever became Noisar, you had already done the Gil. And being that you had already done the Gil, so you never had a problem. El Achatas, but let's say as it relates to Achatas, Kimi Luyam V'lai L'masachlo, Achatas can only be eaten for a day and a night. So Kimi Vashel Ho'idna Achatas, when you cook Achatas today, Havi Noiser, it's going to become Noiser when? The next day. So Ki Hadam Avashel Ba L'machar Oy Shlomo Mechatas. So if the next day you're going to use it either for a Shlomo or a Chatas, Kapola Noisa the Chatas Toh Idna, it's going to be Maflet the Blias of Noisa Chatas that you had cooked today B'chatas Shlomo L'machar into the Chatas and the Shlomo that you cook tomorrow. So the words are a little magungam, but the point is every single day it was used. A tiny rub, if every single day it's used, so what's the problem? There's no reason you ever have to do Libum, because as you're using it, you're constantly, and that's really what the Gemara means. When the Gemara says Magilam Bechamin, it means because Kol Yom V'Yom Nasagil L'Chaver, that every day when you're using it, that in of itself is fine. You never have to go do a Pa'ula of a Maisa Libun, because you never really got to the point where you're going to have the Macholus Asuras. Tainus the Gemara, that's not necessarily the case. Bishleim Shlomim. So a Shlomim is very good. Shlomim doesn't become Noisa for 2 days. So if you cook a Shlomim, let's say on Sunday, so it's not going to become a Noisa until Tuesday. Monday, you already used it again. So good. So now Monday's not until Wednesday, but Tuesday you already use it again. So it never got to the point that you have to do a Maisa Libun. But what about a Chatas? What about Kachi Kadoshim? Kachi Kadoshim is Nechli Yom V'Layla. If you go ahead and you use the Chatas on Sunday, by Monday, it's already nicer. So if you're going to cook on Monday a Chatas, or a Shlomim, the Gemara says, either way, you're going to have an Ablias of Nisa. So you would have to do the Libun before. What do you mean? Magilon meaning, because what the Hishtamshus is the Hagala. Before your Hishtamshus, it already became nicer. So now you're going to end up having a problem. So the Gemara says, Amri, you're right. Lo Tzricha, the only way it's going to work, and this is Rava's blueprint of how they would have to use the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, is the day that you use a chatas, you would immediately have to go ahead and use a shlomim afterwards. If you're going to do that, right, just speak it up, I'll pay. You're never going to have a problem. Why are you never going to have a problem? Because the chatas will not be nicer by tomorrow, because when you use it for the shlomim, you already knocked out the chatas, and the shlomim has 2 days. So like this, you're never going to have a problem. But that's really the answer. That the day that you use the chatas, you're going to have to use the shlomim. Now the Gemara just explains a little bit more. The chatas de lemachar, so like this, when you cook the chatas tomorrow, now what would have been the problem of using the chatas tomorrow? Because if I cook the chatas today, right, if I used it for the chatas on Sunday, so the chatas on Monday is going to be beileya, is going to be by Leia Noiser. But it's not going to be an issue, because the chatas that you're going to use it for tomorrow, ushlomim the esmal, and the shlomim that you used yesterday, right after you had used the chatas yesterday, right, from tomorrow's perspective today is yesterday, right? It's what we refer to as the Chatas and the Shlomim, the Ha'idna, a line ago, and this line of Gemara is now, the Chatas and Shlomim of Ha'idna is now the Chatas Shlomim of Esmon, because we're looking at it relative to Lamacha, right? Because you're worried about what's going to be tomorrow. The Chatas, the Lamacha that you're worried is going to have an Ablias of Noisa, that's fine, because that Chatas, the Lamacha, Ushlomim, the Esmon, Ha'adadika Shalom is Manayo. It's going to become Noisa, the Chatas, the Lamacha, the same time the Shlomim of yesterday is going to become Noisa, which is just a roundabout way of saying, that there's no blias of noisar when you're cooking the chatas de lamachar, because it has blias of shlomim inside of it, and the blias of shlomim are not becoming noisar until that chatas is becoming noisar, which is not until the next day. That's again, super roundabout, but at the end of the day, we got the point, right? Either way, you're going to cook the chatas tomorrow, and vahadu mevashel shlomim de lamachar, right? After you cook the chatas de lamachar, you're going to cook the shlomim de lamachar. And again, like this, I call yavay al makaymai be shlomim, right? You're going to end up being where you need to be. But the bottom line is, that's how this is going to work. But the Gemara says, I hochi ebazoi, hagola nami loydi boy. What's the lashon of the Mishnah? The lashon of the Mishnah was, gabi kochem ashfud va'askela magilon bechame. It sounds like you do have to do a maisa hagola. Now, Rava said that really you should have had it done lipon, norvas, kol yoyim v'yoyim nasagil l'chaveira. I hear, but that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said Magilon Bechamen. And being that the Mishnah said Magilon Bechamen, it sounds like you have to do a special Maisa Agola. And based on this Cheshbon, you shouldn't even have to do a special Maisa Agola. Why shouldn't you have to do a special Maisa Agola? Because at the end of the day, the cooking itself is the Gil. So if the cooking itself is the Gil, it's like this, you never get to a point where you should even have to do anything. Meaning, Bishlam, if it said you have to do nothing, then Rav Shlokotay is a good Shlokotay. But it said you have to do something, you have to do Agol, some Amar of Shach. If you're worried about Noiser, then you should have to do Libun. And if you're not worried about Noiser, because Kol Yom Yom, Nasagil, Chavera, and every day that you cook a Chatas, you're going to make sure you also cook a Shlom, it's like this, you're never going to have a problem. So tomorrow's Chatas, which is yesterday's Shlom, which is today's Chatas, which was tomorrow's Shlom, right, the whole Cheshbon of the Gemara, won't be a problem. Then you shouldn't have to do anything. You shouldn't have to do Gil. The Gemara says Kasha, which in English means I hear. Rapapa Amar, we're going to make a sikum on all these different mahalchim in a minute. But Rapapa said, I'm going to tell you a different chilek between Avodah Zarah and Kachem. Why it is by Avodah Zarah you have to do Libim? When it comes to Kachem, all you have to do is Agala. Hi, when it comes to the Kelim of Abid Kechavim, Karid. Over there, the Bliya becomes a harder Bliya. Hi. However, as it relates to the blias of kachim, loikar never becomes really hard. Meaning, the blia of avodah zarah is a more potent blia than the blia of kachim, and the reason is because the blia of avodah zarah, those kelim of the avodah kechavim weren't used that often. So the blia is not such a. The blia is a. More potent blia. I'm sorry, the other way around. It's more potent. It's mispashet in the entire kli, and that's why you have to do liba. As opposed to the blia of kachim, being that it's used so often, so it doesn't become so hard. It's not mispashet so much. It's easier to get it to be maflit. It's not all blias were created equally. This blia is a different type of blia, and it's for that reason this blia to do agala is going to be enough. And finally, Rav Ashi said, "I'm going to go back to what we started." With. What was that Rav Sheshes who said, Amram Bri, my entire son Amram? Don't compare Geule Kalim of an Oyve Kechavim to Geule Kachim. And the reason is because the Geule Oyve Kechavim. Be'isura Kabbalah, as opposed to when it comes to Kachim, it's Be'tera Kabbalah, it's only later that it became Noiser. Hacha Be'tera Kabbalah, Hacha Isura Kabbalah. Ooh, the Kakashalacha, what was Rav's grace of Kashin? He said, the Be'in the Kabbalah, the Isura Kabbalah. Who cares what it is when it's Be'leah? At the end of the day, when the Kachim is Mafla, it's being Mafla Noiser. Isn't that the only thing that matters? No. Be'in the Kabbalah, Le'isa Le'isura Be'ene. No, it's very, very different. And what's the Vart? The Vart is like this. The Vart is that there's enough gemina between being Beileya Isser, because there, the Isser came from the Be'en. Meaning, you had a shtick nevela. And that shtick nevela is one big chefts of nevela, right? Now, you're Beileya from that, so you're Beileya Isser from a Be'en of Isser. As opposed to when you're Beileya Heter, so when it came from the shtick flesh, really what came from the shtick flesh was Heter. Later, you want on the Beliya, which is not a Be'en anymore, right? At that point, it's Tam, it's not Mamashi anymore. So at that point, you want that it should be Chal on an Isser? for Issa to be chal on a Beliyah is much less than for Issa to be chal on a Be'en, and that is the Svar that Rav Sheshes meant. So we're reinstating that original Svar. The chiluk between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Zvachim is Hocha Terabala, but in the Mishnah in Zvachim, as opposed to Hocha Isura Bala in the Mishnah in Avodah Zara, Urdikok. Why do I care what it's by Leia? The only thing I should care about is what it's maflit. That's 100% incorrect. In one case, the Issa is being chal on Be'en, and in the other case, the Issa is being chal on Bli. When this is chal on Bliya, that in and of itself makes it a little bit more cool. So the bottom line is, we had a steer. We had a mission that said, Ashfuna va'askalo, how you kasher it, you malab anipur. Ay, in Zvachim, it's mavur, the Shfudim and the askalo that was used in the contents of Karbonos when it comes to Noiser, how did they kasher it? They kashered it with Hagala. Doesn't sound like you have to have a Lipon. The first Teretz, which was Rav Sheshes, and really with the defense of Rav Ashi, is that in the case of our Mishnah, you are Baileya Isser, it's more Chomer, you need Lipon. By Kachin, you Baileya Heta, so the Isser Noiser is being Chalam Blias, that's a less Chomer than Gablia. So over there, all you need is Hagala. Rava, in the first Teretz, right, there were two Terutzim from Rava, but Rava, in his first Teretz, said a very big Kiddush. He said that really you need Lipon. In both cases, you need Lipon. My Hagala, what does Hagala mean in the Mishnah? Zvachim means Shtifa Marika. Abaye said Yagad Olvrei. In both cases, you need Lipon and Hagala, and by the way, Emerik and Shtifka. But the bottom line is that you're going to need both in both cases. Rav in the second Teretz said that really you shouldn't even need anything in the case of Kachim, because Kol Yoyim V'Yoyim Nasagil L'Chaveri. Aye, it says you have to do Hagala. Kasha, the Gemara said. Rapapa is the fifth Teretz. Rapapa said, high card, high low card. Not all Blias were created equally. The Blias of Kachem, and not outs the Kedusha Shabbat, but the Blias of Kachem, because there's so much action, there's so much activity, so it doesn't get so hard. It's not mispashed in the entire Keli. It's very easy to be maflitted. As a result of that, our goal is going to be enough. In a regular situation where you don't use it that often, that's where you have the halacha. That being that the shvur and the askala is something that was used before, so the only time to make it kosher is by actually doing libun. So returning now to the idea of libun. V'ad kama malabnon. How much libun do you have to do? You have to wait until the whole thing disintegrates, right? You're putting it into fire. This is intense stuff. Amar Ramani, Ramani said, Ashatasha klipasan. You have to remove the klipa. So there, the outer bunch, as long as you get rid of that, that's going to be Ketam Agila. What about Agala? How does that work? Amar Rafun, Rafun said, Yairik Tan, if you have a small pot, but you put it into a big pot. Rashi said, the punchline is, you have to make sure the entire pot is submerged. If the entire pot is, if you have a small pot, you put it into the big pot like this, it's going to be all the way to the top with water, it's going to be fine. Yairik Gedayla, what do you do if you have a Yairik Gedayla? Mai, Toshma, Dahu Dudu, Dahabi Be Rabakavio. There was a very, very big pot. That was Rabakavio says again, what's the problem with Yairik Gedayla? This is the biggest pot I have. I don't have a bigger pot to put it in. So what do you do then? And again, you don't put it in a mikvah. You need boiling out water. So how exactly do you heat it up? So the Gemara said that there was a big pot that was in the house of Rabbi Kafia. Ahadale gedanfa delishapuma. So what he did was, first things first, he put a little bit of batzig, a little bit of taig, right? He put a little bit of dough on the rim, on the lip of the keter on top. And then he filled up the entire pot with boiling hot water until it overflowed. Amar Rava. Rava saw what Rabbi Kavya did. He said, "Man chaklam evikel milsi." He says, "What about Kishrin? This is genius." He loved Rabbi Kavya. Only someone like Rabbi Kavya, the gaver rabu, because he's a gaver rabu. He knows, because he knows that the rule of thumb when it comes to kashering is, you kasher something the way it was by Leah. Meaning, what's the purpose of kashering? So it should be poilate. A thing is poilate in the same way it's by Leah. Meaning, just like the top of the keli, where you're worried about Blias, how would it have been by Leia? It would have been by Leia through Netzaitzis, right? So we have Klippas on Netzaitzis. How would it have been by Leia? It would have been by Leia because a little bit of it may have jumped out and it would have landed on the rim. No, I felt it in Netzaitzis. So it would be Maflin in the same way through Netzaitzis. Meaning, you'll get a little bit of Netzaitzis of this Reuschen on top of it, and that would cause it to go ahead and to be Maflin. Just explain this a little bit better. When we're worried about kashering a Yairi Gedayla, what are you worried about? You're not worried about the interior. That's easy. Fill it up with hot water. What's the problem? Right? Just like the Yairi Tani you put into the Yairi Gedayla, I can really bavarn the interior of the Yairi Gedayla in the same way. Fill it up with hot water. What's my issue? My issue is the top. My issue is the outside part, maybe. Right? That's the part that I'm concerned with. Well, how did that become a problem in the first place? You never put anything in the top. things may have sprinkled onto the top. So by you going ahead now and overflowing it, that would address that, and it's for that reason it's going to be okay. Now, why do you have to put the Isa on top? What's that all about, right? The first thing was he put the Gedanfa the Lisha Puma. So the first Rashi addresses it. Rashi says, Kidesha tekabu mayim harbe, v'yavru haroischem al sfasa. That by putting the Isa on top, so again, this is not my fach, but if you put the Isa on top, you had to be there. That would somehow address it, but the bottom line is the Chiddush was kapoyle kach. Who came up with this idea? Rabbi Kavya. Rabbi Kavya was a Gavir Rabbi. Because he was a Gavir Rabbi, he came up with this Chachma. By the way, because he's a Gavir Rabbi, that's why he came up with the Chachma, right? Man chakim le'me'evat gehom milso. You love Rabbi Kavya, the Gavir Rabbi. Gavir Rabbi and Chacham, I thought is not mamish the same thing. Either way, it says the Gemara, Hasakin. So going back to the Mishnah said if you have a knife that's not kosher, so what do you do with it? Shafa. Chisel it a little bit, right? You scrape it, vitoira, and it's going to be okay. Amrav ukva bar chama, v'noyetz asar b'pamim b'karka. Rashi says, in addition to going ahead and being shafa, you also have to stick it in the ground 10 times. Amrav funu b'edrav Yeshua u'b'karka shein avud. You have to make sure it's karka that was never used, ever, like an egla rufa, right? You have to make sure it's hard karka. Once it's used already, it's a little bit softer, it's not going to be okay. Amrav kana, Rav kana said, u'b'sakin yafa, she'im b'gumas. Only time this is true, meaning that putting it into the sakin is going to be okay, is if there's no gumbos, right? What's a gumbo? A gumbo is like a ditch, it's a hole. There's no holes inside the knife. But once there's holes inside the knife, then you have to do more, because you have to make sure, you have to get everything out of those gumbos. Tanya nam, yochit a braisa. Sakin, yofa, she'en bo gumbos, noyatza asara pamim bakarka. If you have a sakin, yofa, that has no gumbos, so there's an idea of noyatza asara pamim bakarka. What's the tanya nam, yochit? Only if there's en bo gumbos. Amar afuna breder of Yeshua, lecho bot zaynein. Another. Knech, that the only time this oifen of agol is okay is if you're going to use soynein with it. If, however, you're going to use chamin with it, so then already you would have to do a proper agolos. So if you're only using it for soynein, so then already this is going to be fine. Otherwise, you have to do the real thing. Says the Gemara, how do I know that? With a maisa shoya kachoya, and it's with this maisa that Maseches Avodah Zarah ends. Gehod the Mar Yehuda, like the story that happened with Mar Yehuda. Ubati Bartufi, and Bati Bartufi, that Yasvi came to Shram Malka, that was sitting in the presence of Shram Malka, he's the Persian king. Aisul Kamayu Esroigu, and they brought an Esrig to eat. Posak, so Shram Malka took his knife and he cut the Esrig. Ochal, he ate it. Posak, the Havle, Lebati Bartovi. And then he cut another piece and he gave it to Bati Bartovi, right? King Shapur is tiling Sharai, right? Mechubit Bati Bartufi. Then he went, he took the knife, he stuck it 10 times in the ground, the kashrit, and pasak havli the Mar Yehuda, and then he gave to Mar Yehuda. So King Shafer is telling. First, he cuts a piece of Esther, gives it for himself. Then he gives it to Bati Bartuvi. Right, sounds like he's the next most chashev person there. He goes and he gives him, no problem. But before he gave to Mar Yehuda, first he went ahead and he toivled it. And how did he toivle it? With this patent. He sticks it 10 times under the ground. So the Gemara says, Amalei Bati Bartuvi. So Bati Bartuvi turns to the king. And he says, Vahu Gavra. He talks about himself in third person. Again, you see how chashev he is. Lav Bar Yisraelu. What, chbenocha mamzakin, chbenocha yid. You think for me, you don't have to toivle it? Once you use your non-kosher thing, right? It's not kosher. It's yours. It belongs to you. So obviously it's not kosher. Why did you only kasher before you use it for Mar Yehuda? Why not for me? So he told him, Mar Kimli Begavei, or Mar Le Kimli Begavei. He says, I'll be honest with you. He says, Mar Yehuda, I know he's very nizer in these things. I know that he's a parish and he won't eat Macholos Asuris. He says, it's nice to know. I didn't know, and as a result, I wasn't Mach. Some have a different version of the story. Amalei told him, Itker my Abdes Ba'urta. He says, what, you forgot what happened last night? All of a sudden, it's Gevar Nafruma. He said, you're not a Bal Nefesh. You forgot what happened last night? And because of what happened last night, that's why I thought for 1,000% that you're not Machbet. So what happened the night before? This is the last Rashi, Mesech Savay Dezara. Derech Parsiyin. The custom of the Persians was Limsar Noshim Lachsanot, to give Noshim to their guests. For Arayas. Now what happens with Mar Yehuda and this Bati Bartuvi, they both came to Persia. So the king of Persia did what the minig was. He sent them this matana. He sent them the zoinois. So Kibel Bati was Mekabel, but Rabbi Yehuda like Kibel. But Rabbi Yehuda was not Mekabel. And being that Rabbi Yehuda was not Mekabel, but Bati was, Rabbi Yehuda is an Erlich Yid, as opposed to Bati Bartuvi is not an Erlich Yid. So he says, now now all of a sudden I'm supposed to think you're going to be frim when it comes to the knife and the esrik. And it's for that reason it sent it to him. And on that note, Mesechus Avodah Zarah ends. Hadron Aloch Asoichus Apoyel Uslik Allah Mesechus Avodah Zarah. Now, as it relates to the real ending of Mesechus Avodah Zarah, we are going to attach a raid bite. This raid bite is a classic Shabbat classics from Hagoyin, Reuven Margolis, Reuven Moshe Zechetzadik Levracha. We're attaching it. Number one, it's on the very last Rashi in Mesechus Avodah Zarah, so it's literally Dover Be'itai. Additionally, this week, Zion El was the yard site of Reuven Margolis. We have the schus to say over Torah from him a lot in the shir. We learn from him. He didn't have any children, Kiyadua. Sif Sois of you, Dovois Bekevin, really his Torah. It should be a schutz for the ganze Chabura. We're going to end with this classic Shabbat classic raid bites from Reuven Margolis. The Gemara on Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis said, Rav ki miklo v'darshish. Rav, when he would travel to Darshish, Machris, he would make the following proclamation. He would say, Man havyo l'yoyma. He would say, who wants to be my wife for today? Rav was going to be in Darshish for one day, and he wanted to be married for that one day. And Rav would say, Man havyo l'yoyma. Rav Nachman would do the same thing. Had miklo l'shchantziv, where Rav Nachman would come to Shchantziv, Machris, he would declare, and he would say, Man havyo l'yoyma. And the Gemara had problems with it. The Gemara says, how could you do that? You can't have a family in two different parts of the world because the children may not know each other. They're going to marry, perhaps, and a brother's going to end up marrying a sister. So the Gemara says, it's not a problem. They were Rabbanim. Rabbanim called it a slave. But then the Gemara said, there's even another problem. If someone's Teveya, someone to get married, Dalach, she becomes a Nida for 7 days. So man, she's a Nida. So it's us her anyways. And the Gemara again gave Terutzim. Either it was only Yichud, or maybe Ad Kedei Kach, Rav would send a shliach. Rav Nachman would send a shliach 7 days before to set it up because he knew this halach in Shulchan Aruch that she's going to be a nida to make sure she's not going to be a nida. This is what they used to do. This Gemara is Einoy Oimer Ella Dershuni. And as a rule, if you see a Gemara that's Einoy Oimer Ella Dershuni, you look in Rav Reuven Margolis' Sfarim because he always darshes these Gemaras. And sure enough, Kemoitza Shalor Rav, I saw in the Sefer Pininim Umargolis, that was a pun, for Rav Reuven Margolis, he has a chapter, it's called Man Havyo L'Yoyma, where he describes and discusses this Gemara. He asks the obvious questions. How could you even understand a Gemara like this? And the truth is, just to understand the question on a deeper level, we're talking about Rav and Rav Nachman. Let's talk about Rav for a second. We talk about Rav all the time in the Daf. The Chida in the Sefer Pesach Einayim in the end of Masechtas Menachis, and the Sefer Ayuchsin quotes it on Abba Aricha, right in the beginning of Seyda Adoris, Erech Abba. There's a braisa that describes asari mili de chasidus that Rav was noyik. 10 chumras, 10 mili de chasidus that Rav was accustomed to. Rav never looked outside of his dalet amos. The Rambam says, Oimrim al Rav Talmud Rabbeinu Hakadosh shaloi soch sicha b'teilo kol yomav. Rav never went dalet amos without tefillin. We're talking about Rav. There's no one in Shas that had more talmidim than Rav. So Rav, he was traveling, he was away for a day. He said, Man havyo l'yoyma, he couldn't not be married for one day. But still, how could he even fathom such a thing as it relates to Rav, as it relates to Rav Nachman? Another thing that Reuven Margolis asks is that we know from Shas, and this is also something we talk about a lot, that Rav used to travel a lot. The Gemara says, Ki ikla Rav l'taklofish, Rav went to Damcharya. There's a whole bunch of different Gemaras where Rav traveled to different places. And the Gemara says Rav was always traveling. Right? That's the Igeres Rav Shira going. He describes that Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara in Shabbos, Tav Kufches, where there was a little bit of a situation and Rav had to leave Nahardot, that's where the big yeshivas were, and he ended up going to Masa Mechasi, went to Surah, and as he traveled along the way, he used to pitch his tent. Then he would literally get up, Ayikru B'Shem Hashem, like Avram Avinu, like Aharon HaKohen. He was Oyves Abriyas on the Kaivim HaTorah. And that's what Rav used to do. So Rav was always traveling. Yet, when the Gemara brings this interesting custom, the Gemara says, Rav ki miklo l'darshish. Rav Nachman ki miklo l'shantzeh. Why is it Rav ki miklo l'darshish? Why didn't he do this in Tatlofish? It sounds like it was something that he did in this very specific place. It sounds like this is something that he did in Darshish. And the question is why? So he has a little bit of an arichos. He deflects different theories that he's heard. And then he says, Tesi le legisi chavivi. He says, my shvager is going to get a lot of schar. Hi, who's his shvager? Hi, niu talmud chacham muvikar moishem mardcha Schweitzer. Shemakam he nichu loy ba'aras mu'urazeh. Because in Shemayim they gave him the schus and the siyata d'shmaya. Said Rabbi Ruvim Ragolis to say what I believe is the emes of pshat in this gemara. And for this we need to know one gemara, the short version of this, and that is the very, very last gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zarah. It's the Hadron, literally Hadron Aloch Asleichas Apoyel Uslikalei Masechtas Avodah Zarah. So if you go to a Sima Masechtas Avodah Zarah, this is the gemara that you hear. The gemara is discussing a knife that's not kosher, or that was used to cut non-kosher food. So there's a method of being magel the knife by sticking it into the ground 10 times. That's the context over there. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua said, Lecha b'tzoyne, that this mahalach of sticking it into the ground, it only works if you want to eat tzoynein with it. But if you're going to eat something hot, then it's not going to work. And the Gemara just tells one anecdote. We need one prat of this story. Ki adam Yehuda ubati bar tuvi. There were two yidin that were sitting in the presence of the Shvar Malka. One was Mar Yehuda, and the other one's name was Bati Bartuvi. Now, Shvar Malka, in English, King Shapur, he was a Persian king, and he was an Eina Yehudi. But he comes up in different Gemaras, and he seemed to be somewhat melumid in the halachas of the Torah. So the Gemara says, Aisu l'kamayu esrega. They brought him an asterisk, pasak va'achal. So the Shvar Malka took his knife, whips out his sword, and he cut off a piece, and he ate the esrik. Pasak, then he cut off another piece. V'havli the Bati Bartuvi, he said, Bati Bartuvi, nu nema b'saloichit. Take a little bit of esrik. Hoder, dotz asar zimnibaru. Then he took the knife, he stuck it 10 times into the ground. Pasak, havli the Mar Yehuda, and he gave a little bit to Mar Yehuda. Amalei, Bati Bartuvi. So Bati Bartuvi turns to Shvar Malki, says, I understand. Me, you're giving the non-kosher, right? You took your knife, that's not a kosher knife, without koshering it, and the gizbech hashtikol esrik. Chmeno chamam zakin, what did I do? How come you're giving me the non-kosher? Oh, before you gave Mar Yehuda, then you stuck it into the ground, then you went through the Hagolah. Amalei, bati batuvi, what, vahu gavel abba yisrohu? So he told him. The Gemara says two versions. The first version is Amalei Mar Kimli Begaveh, Maloi Kimli Begaveh. I'll tell you the truth, I know Mar Yehuda is a frumma, so I know he takes kashas very seriously, so that's why I don't really know that much about you. Ikidamri. Some have a different version. Amalei, he told him, Itchar my Avdas Po'urta. He says, you want to know why I served you the non-kosher food? Because do you remember what happened last night? So the Gemara says, what happened? So Zok Rashi is the last Rashi Masechet Avodah Zarah. Derech Parsim, the minhag of the Persians was limsar noshim lachsanoim, that when there was a guest, someone that came as an achsanoi to Persia, they would be meiser noshim to them. Ukishashigrun lahem balayla, and Shvar Malka was the melech of Paras, and therefore when these two guests came, he was shigrun noshim. And it says the Gemara, Kibel Bati. Bati was Mekabel, but Rabbi Yehuda like Kibel. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't Mekabel. So says the Gemara, this is the last Gemara, Masechtas Avodah Zarah. So the Shvar Malka told Bati, he says, you want to know why I served you the non-kosher meat? Because you were the one that was nichshol with the Zayna. You were Mekabel the Zayna. Mar Yehuda wasn't. So I understood. Mar Yehuda is an upkeit to the yid. So him, I knew I had a kasha the knife before I served him a little bit. But as it relates to you, I knew you're not. And as a result, you're somebody that I wasn't careful. Said Rav Reuven Margolis to Shvager, Rav Moshe Mordecha Schweitzer. So he said that you see from this Rashi, Derech Parsim Limsar Noshim Lachsanon. That's what the Parsim used to do. And he said, the truth is, it's an Ovis de Rav Nosson. The Ovis de Rav Nosson is in Perek Tazvav. The Gemara there tells a story with Rabbi Akiva that he came to a certain place in Persia. And when Rabbi Akiva was there, Achabar Rabbi Akiva also traveled a lot. And he came to a certain place, and the Gemara says that the Shiltoim was Shigra Leishtei Noshim, and it ended up being a big Nesoyim for Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, Kamuvin, was Oymed Ben Nesoyim, but it was a very, very big Nesoyim. And it's Mavur in the Ovis de Rav Nosson that Rabbi Akiva was forced to be meyached with these two noshim. He had to. Because it came from the shiltoin, and there was a certain protocol. He had no choice. It was something that he had no way of getting out of. And said Rav Schweitzer, it's poshet. This Ovis de Rav Nosson in Perek Tesvav is what Rashi was describing, the very last Rashi, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Derech Parsim, Limsar Noshim, Lachsanon. This was the Derech of the Parsim. But he says, you see, more than that, it was a tough situation. It wasn't so simple. So said Rav Margolis Shvager, that's the pshat. He says, Rav
when he traveled to Tatlafish, when he went to Damcharia, when he went from Naharda to Sura and to Masa Mechassia, Chas V'Shalom, he walked into a city and he said, Man Havi Eliyoyma. We're talking about Rav. You're talking about someone that was like Soch Sicha B'Tela Kol Yomav. You're talking about someone that never went Dalan Amos without Tefillin, without Kedusha. You're talking about Rav Nachman, Chasna the Benesia. Of course, there's no way in the world that this could have happened. But Dafka, when he went to where? When he went to Darshish, and Dafka Rav Nachman, when he went where? When he went to Shchantziv. So this already, you have to be Rav Ruvi Margolis or his Shvager. You have to know that. You know what Darshish was? It was in Persia. He says, you know what Shchantziv was? It was in Persia. It never happened in Bava. Why would it happen? Chalila v'chalila. But Dafka these two cities, Dafka these two places, when he went to Paras, he went to Persia, he knew he was going to have a problem. And you want to know why he knew he was going to have a problem? He says, because ki yodanu ki melech Paras, Adarban v'sorav kivdu ma'oides rav v'chein kishabar rav. This is in bold letters. L'darshish asher b'paras yada ki ashulton yichabed oisoy v'lefi nimuseyem heim. He knew what their nimuseyem was. It's going to be a problem. V'eichze yevalu yoimim nevela mechayim. He didn't want to spend one day mitazan nevela. This is what he writes. This is his lashon. He was trying to get out of it. U'kavoy kein Rav Nachman l'shchantziv ha'kroyva l'darshish. And he gives you a whole source how he knows this is also in Paras. He knew this was going to be an issue. So you know what he did? He made sure he's married in Darshish. Rav Nachman made sure he was married in Shchantziv, because the nimuseim was, if a person came and he didn't have a wife, that's what they used to do. But if he was married, avada, they didn't do this. He came, he said, Man havi l'yoyma, avada, this was only there, it was only paras, it was only because of nimuseim. This is never something he would have ever done. And he says, with this, we can crack another one of the riddles in the Gemara, where the Gemara says something that B'muscha Rishon, it's a parsha stuma in this case, B'oifen haflaga. But now we know the rest of the story. Mamish, Dvarim Niflam from Rav Ruvi Margolis.